You know that feeling, right? That kind of gut instinct.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or maybe that knot in your stomach before something big.
Exactly. We often just call it gut instinct, but what if there's more to it? What if that whole area, around your navel is actually way more significant than we think?
Well, it's funny. We tend to dismiss the belly button, don't we? Just a
Just a
scar.
leftover, yeah.
But when you start looking across different fields, anatomy, therapies, even ancient wisdom, they all seem to point there.
Pointing to it as what, like a central hub?
Pretty much. A hub for physical health, sure, but also emotions, maybe mental clarity, even a deeper spiritual connection, potentially.
Okay, so that's what we're digging into today. This deep dive is all about the navel and this idea of the hara, that kind of core center.
And we've got quite a mix of sources lined up.
We really do. Anatomy, physiology, sure, but also traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, Sufism, shamanism.
And then the more modern therapeutic sides, things like neural therapy, somatic experience, orthobiony, even some newer stuff like belly button healing.
It's a lot, covering so many different angles, medical, energetic, spiritual.
Exactly. But they all keep coming back to this central point, this navel area. So
Yeah.
our mission really is to pull out the key insights
Connect the dots between these, well, seemingly really different perspectives.
and try to understand why this often ignored spot might be so crucial for, well, for you.
Yeah, get ready to maybe see your belly button in a completely new light.
Let's start with the physical stuff, the anatomy,
Yeah.
because the sources immediately say, look, it's not just skin deep.
It's more than just a scar tissue remnant.
Right, it's described as a fundamental hub connecting critical body systems.
And one concept that really jumped out was the fascia.
Ah, the fascial system. Yeah, it's fascinating. Think of it like this body-wide web.
A
It
web.
kind of, yeah, like a super sensitive, intelligent spider web holding everything together. It wraps around your organs, muscles, nerves, everything.
Okay.
And our sources point to the navel, remarkably, as being the center of this entire network, the main connection point.
The absolute center of this whole internal web. Wow.
Wow. It's a powerful idea.
Yeah.
And they don't just see it as structure. They describe this fascia as like a sensory system, an information highway.
So it feels things,
Never.
transmits signals.
Exactly. It reacts, it sends messages, and it seems it can even hold on to things, maybe electromagnetic waves, maybe even emotions.
Emotions like physically stored in this connective tissue centered at the navel.
That's what some perspectives suggest. It really changes how you think about feeling something in your gut, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I remember reading that detail about just touching the
Oh,
navel.
the pelvic tension release, yeah.
Right. How touching the navel can instantly relax the pelvis, unless, and this was the strange part, unless the navel's aura is stressed. What's that about?
That's a really interesting observation, isn't it? It shows that deep physical link through the fascia and the nervous system.
Okay.
But that stressed aura part, it hints at something more, maybe an energetic blockage or an emotional one.
Something that overrides the physical reflex.
Perhaps. It points towards that electromagnetic aspect some therapies focus on, suggests our physical state is tied up with these subtler fields.
And speaking of nervous systems, the sources kept bringing up the second brain.
Ah, the enteric nervous system, right there in your gut wall.
It's really like a second brain.
It really is. It potentially has more nerve cells than your spinal cord's nervous system, and it uses many of the same chemicals, the same receptors as the brain in your head.
Wow. And it's running digestion, obviously, but.
But much more. It's constantly talking to your immune system, and it plays a huge role in regulating mood, your overall state, far bigger than we used to appreciate.
Okay, so we've got this central fascial hub and this massive second brain in the gut. How do they connect? Where does that gut feeling really originate?
Well, this is where the solar plexus often comes in, usually located just a bit above the navel.
Right.
It's described as a key regulator, not just balancing fight or flight versus rest and digest.
The sympathetic and parasympathetic systems.
Exactly, with the vagus nerve being key for that rest and digest side. But the sources suggest the solar plexus also influences our mental and emotional vibration.
So it's not just physical processes like digestion, it's our whole state, energetically too.
That's the idea. It influences digestion, organs, the heart, yes. But that vagus nerve connection, it's direct line to the brain.
A highway between gut and head.
Pretty much. Connecting to areas like the amygdala, which handles fear and emotion. So The state of your belly area via this pathway can genuinely impact how and what you feel and think.
That makes so much sense of the whole gut feeling thing, and this must tie into stress.
Directly. The solar plexus is closely linked to the adrenal glands. They're part of the HPA axis, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal.
The pain stress response system.
Right, the one that pumps out cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And the sources explain how chronic stress or trauma can basically lock this system in yawn position.
Stuck in fight, flight, or freeze.
Exactly. And when the body's stuck like that,
it messes everything up, starting right there in the gut.
Precisely. The gut brain can't function properly. Hormone production gets disrupted. Neurotransmitters.
Leading to actual symptoms people feel every day.
Absolutely. Things like ongoing digestive problems, that physical tension you just can't shake, irritability, anxiety, sleep issues.
Even things like depression or low libido.
Yeah, the sources link all those back. They even mention persistent hip tension, like pelvic torsion, as a possible physical sign of the body being locked in that stress mode, rooted right here.
It's amazing how many common complaints might trace back to this core area and the navel itself. The sources give it another layer, don't they? Going right back to birth.
The original scar. The Urnar.
The Urnar bee. Tell us about that.
Well, the umbilical cord. That was the fetus's only direct physical link to the mother.
Right, right. For nutrients and oxygen.
But the sources point out it was more than that. Through the blood, through the fascia, in the cord itself, the child experienced the mother's state. Her emotions, her stress levels.
So the navel, where the cord attached, experienced all of that.
Essentially, yes. It experienced that connection and whatever flowed through it. So the navel isn't just a scar marking physical separation.
It's like a record of that first bond, how we entered the world.
That's the perspective. It marks becoming an independent individual and how that whole birth and separation went positive, negative, stressful, could leave an imprint.
Affecting our basic sense of security, maybe?
Potentially.
Yeah.
And it's unique, too. Unlike other scars, navel tissue kind of retracts, folds in on itself naturally, which might be why it's seen as so potent in some therapies.
Which is a perfect lead-in. How do these ideas translate into actual healing approaches? This Urnarbe idea changes things.
It really does. Take neural therapy. They see scars anywhere as potential interference fields.
Interference fields, disrupting the body's energy.
Kind of, yeah. Disrupting regulation, maybe contributing to chronic problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the navel, being the original scar, the Urnarbe, is seen as a primary one, a superior field.
So how do they treat it?
Well, what's fascinating is they might inject it with a tiny bit of local anesthetic.
Right.
Or even just use like a simple laser pointer on it.
A laser pointer. Seriously.
Yeah. Or on other scars seen as disruptive. The idea is that this can somehow harmonize discordant energetic vibrations.
That really leans into the body having an electromagnetic aspect.
It does. The coherent light from a laser might help reset those vibrations in a tense navel or scar. Points to the body's electrical nature.
But you mentioned earlier this could be blocked.
Right. They caution that if there's significant stress in the navel's aura, that energetic layer, again, it might block the effect. It keeps looping back.
Interesting. Okay, shifting to trauma. Therapies like somatic experience also focus heavily on the belly, right?
Absolutely. Peter Levine's work sees the belly with those autonomic and enteric nervous systems as both the place where traumatic reactions get stuck.
The origin point.
And also the primary place where that trapped energy can be released, where healing happens.
So working with belly sensations is key to resolving body-held trauma.
Exactly. And historically, other approaches did too.
Mm-hmm.
Biodynamic psychology and physiotherapy.
With Gerda Boisen and her psychoperistalsis.
That's the one. The idea that your gut sounds the gurgles, the movements, actually reflect your mental and autonomic state.
So blocked sounds meant tension, rigidity.
Pretty much that fixed stress mode again.
Yeah.
And her treatment involved very gentle massage, guided by listening to those gut sounds with a stethoscope just below the navel.
The belly literally telling the therapist what's going on. Amazing.
Yeah.
And orthobiotomy. They're known for being gentle.
They are. They treat the navel gently too, like a scar or interference field. Sometimes it's just a light touch or guiding it slightly in its easy direction.
Its preferred direction of movement.
Yeah. The practitioners quoted, see the navel as this central meeting point, the origin of our deep inner movement patterns, a connection to the center, to life.
Wow. A subtle touch connecting to something so fundamental. Any other systems use this area?
Briefly, yeah. Reflex therapy maps zones around the navel to the bladder, pelvic muscles, kidneys. Mm-hmm. Kinesiology, muscle testing. Sometimes put substances on the navel to test tolerance. And they see it as important for sorting out neurological switching issues.
So across different methods, it's a key access point for assessment and healing.
It really seems to be.
Okay, so that's the physical and therapeutic side. But as you said, many traditions go way deeper. They see this area as an energy center, right? A power source.
Exactly. This is where we get concepts like the Hara in Japan, mm-hmm. or the lower Tantan, the Dantian in China.
Located in the abdomen.
Yeah, usually described as being in the lower abdomen, seen as the place to gather your inner strength. It's fundamental in Zen, Qigong, martial arts.
And while sometimes it's pinpointed a bit below the navel, one source argued the navel itself is the key spot.
Yeah, their logic was interesting. They said the direct fascial relaxation, that autonomic shift, happens specifically with navel contact.
More so than points lower down.
Apparently, which kind of bridges the anatomy and the energy view.
Mm.
If maybe the navel is the physical gateway to that energy center.
That's a compelling idea. In traditional Chinese medicine, they call the area below the navel the sea of energy.
They do. The Tantian is the ocean of qi, the reservoir of vital energy.
Fueling everything else.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Filling it nourishes the meridians, the organs, boosts vitality, self-healing, and the navel point itself on the conception vessel meridian.
An origin channel.
Seen that way, yeah.
Yeah.
And uniquely, it's treated with warming moxa, not needles, which really emphasizes its foundational life-giving quality.
Even ear acupuncture uses it.
Yep. The navel point on the ear is considered a central coordination point, a master point for the whole ear map, used for exhaustion, spasms, just general well-being.
It keeps showing up as the central regulator. What about Indian traditions, Ayurveda, yoga?
They recognize the navel chakra, Manipura, also a central energy hub.
Associated with fire, power, transformation.
Right. And surrounded by thousands of subtle energy channels, the nadis. They also link it closely to the heart chakra. And mention that concept of a heart brain.
A brain in the heart with its own neurons.
That's the idea, yeah. And its state seems closely tied to the belly's state. It shows how these ancient systems perceive these complex connections.
And the sources connect to the higher chakras, too.
Yeah, they trace Link's third eye to the pineal gland, crown to the hypothalamus, and show how the connection between the solar plexus navel chakra area and the brain is physically grounded in that HPA axis we talked about.
The foundation for the autonomic nervous system, the subconscious emotions.
Exactly, which is why many meditation practices focus on drawing energy or divine light into these centers.
It's fascinating how the energy maps seem to overlay the physical anatomy. Anthroposophy does something similar.
It does. It connects the physical body to subtle bodies via the chakras and sees the solar plexus as where the ich, the self, the spiritual core, directly influences our physical being.
Our core self interacting with the body through the solar plexus area. That's deep. One source quoted Damien Alvarez, taking it even further.
Ah, yes, Alvarez. He describes the solar plexus navel chakra, Manipura, Jagat, different names, as a power center that actually communicates with the universe.
Communicates with the universe.
That's his perspective. Connected to all aspects of personality. Controlling life energy, aiding healing, protecting the aura.
And he had a strong view on trauma affecting this center.
Very strong. He believed stress and trauma, even social trauma, like fear or envy, hit this center first and hardest. It gets traumatized.
Social pressures traumatizing our energetic core. Wow.
And he suggests there's constant, unconscious, energetic communication between people via this center.
Passing things back and forth.
Potentially. Emotional patterns, blockages. He even had that idea about adolescents being energetically tied to their parents' navel chakra until 21.
Inheriting burdens and benefits through that link.
That was the notion. And for strengthening it, he recommended simple things.
Mm.
Real laughter, crying, deep breathing.
Basic human expressions to strengthen this profound center.
Interesting. What about shamanism or other views?
Briefly, yeah. Don Juan's view of humans as luminous eggs with fibers centering at the navel, connecting us out to the world.
And Dr. Vinu Mukunda's research, suggesting the navel vibrates with our unique primal tone.
A personal frequency. Wow. Sufism also focuses here.
Deeply. The ego soul, the nafs, is often placed in the belly. And the word nafs is linked to naf, navel, and nafa's breath.
So purification involves connecting belly, breath, and heart.
Yes, with divine remembrance. And other views, like the diamond approach or some Hindu thought, see, cutting the cord is more than physical.
A separation from a divine essence, leaving a gap.
Kind of, yeah. A Maya gap, an illusion of the navel. So treating the navel becomes like treating the soul's original scar.
That really elevates it. And many Orient and healing traditions work via the navel, too.
Yes, the sources gave examples from Turkey shifting the navel for pain, Iran treating various illnesses, and the Kurdish Brema tradition, linked to Sufism, sees the navel as the Hara center.
And finally, Osho. He had a very strong take.
Extremely strong. For Osho, the navel was the most important point, the seat of the soul itself, more fundamental than mind or heart. He believed we're connected by invisible threads, from our navel to others' navels to the sun, moon, stars, even a universal divine navel center.
And he valued navel-centered relationships.
Saw them as the deepest path, true friendships, sexuality connecting from that core life force. He stressed developing this center through presence, fearlessness, conscious breathing, healthy living.
And chanting Om.
Specifically focusing the M sound vibration into the navel. For Osho, ultimate stillness and awareness reside there, accessible when the mind quiets.
He even linked the samurai's focus and harakiri to this center.
Yeah. Sai connected to the power and presence cultivated from the Hara Navel.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. We've gone from fascia and gut brains through ancient wisdom and spiritual views to modern therapies.
Mm.
What's the takeaway for someone listening? What does it mean for you?
Well, the consistent message seems to be that this navel area, this Harada, this core, it's a vital center for anchoring ourselves, connecting inward, connecting outward, and accessing deeper parts of ourselves.
Bringing awareness there, however you think about it, seems key across the board.
Exactly. And the potential benefits mentioned in the sources are pretty wide-ranging.
Let's recap some of those. Physically.
Things like improved movement, more grace and ease, like in Japanese arts, moving from the Hara. Also, increased body awareness, being more sensitive to what's going on physically, emotionally, energetically.
And that crucial link to autonomic regulation, right? Balancing the nervous system.
Definitely. Deeper inner peace. Better balance between stress and calm. That's seen as foundational for health and emotional stability. Connects right back to the solar plexus and vagus nerve.
Okay. What else?
Boosting vitality, life energy, Eero, some call it. Better performance, maybe enhanced self-healing. Emotionally, better awareness of feelings and where they sit in the body.
And mentally.
Cultivating a kind of anchor point for the mind, a place to rest awareness. Allowing you to observe thoughts and feelings without getting totally caught up. More presence. A neutral observer.
And then the energetic or spiritual side?
Activating those energy centers, unfolding potential, maybe lessening the grip of the ego, allowing a sense of surrender, trust in life.
And people are actively using these ideas today.
Oh yeah, Korean Sindo, focusing on the lower Danjin, using specific breathing to harmonize body, mind, spirit.
And that belly button healing.
Ilchi Lee's work, yeah.
Huh.
Directly stimulating the navel, linking it to the gut brain, aiming to improve circulation, digestion, reduce stress, balance energy based on concepts like water up, fire down.
So it's not just theory. There are practices. What kind of things did the sources suggest people could actually do?
Well, things like energetic cleansing around the Hara, using arm movements perhaps, strengthening exercises like navel integration.
Which involves touching the navel and other points.
Yeah, like the navel and kidneys or navel and neck gently. Grounding practices, feeling that connection to the earth from your center.
Visualizations.
Visualizing connections from your hair out to your environment, or even back into your history.
And breathing, of course.
Lots of breathing exercises, focusing awareness and energy in the belly. Like Danjin breathing or Osho's Om chanting, focusing the M sound there.
Self-massage, too.
Gentle massage around the solar plexus. Or that biodynamic approach of listening to and gently working with the belly.
It sounds like there are many ways in. The specific technique might matter less than the actual act of paying attention there.
That really seems to be the common thread. It's about cultivating that connection, turning awareness inward.
Trusting the wisdom in your body's core.
Exactly. Allowing stillness, allowing intuition maybe, to guide you. It's a process, not a quick fix.
So we've journeyed from fascia and gut intelligence through ancient arts and philosophies to modern therapies, all pointing back to this surprisingly significant spot, the navel, the Hara.
Linked to physical health, emotional history, energy, our connection to life itself.
It definitely puts a new spin on just having a gut feeling, doesn't it?
It really does. It might be your whole being speaking from its absolute center.
Yeah. And maybe consider this final thought from the sources. What if the navel isn't just a point, but acts more like a conductor.
A conductor. leading the orchestra.
Kind of. Setting the tone, the rhythm, for how your body, mind, and spirit all play together harmoniously.
Hmm. What might shift for you then? What could be possible if you brought just a little more conscious attention to this mysterious middle?
Something to ponder, perhaps, on your own deep dive?